Good morning, everyone. Today's daf in Temura is daf Chav Ches. We're back on Chav Zayin. We caught up a little bit yesterday. We're going to catch up a little bit more today, Yirtzeh Hashem. And we start with the Gemara. We started the Mishnah yesterday back on Chavav Amud Beis, and the Mishnah gave us some real basic information regarding Temura, which is the difference between Temura and being Mechala. Temura is kind of like an exchange. Temura is basically, I'd like, instead of this to be carbon, I'd like to exchange it for this carbon. But as we all, of course, all know, both of them will have Kedusha, both the original animal that you wanted to divest it of its Kedusha and the new animal that you want to invest it with Kedusha, both of them will have Kedusha, and that, of course, is a prohibition of Temura. Okay, so what words would constitute Temura? So we learned back in the Mishnah, if I use the word Zutachazu, or zu temura zu, or zu chalifa zu. So all those cases would be words of temura. However, what if I want to be mechalal? Now, what does mechalal mean? So mechalal means deconsecrate. Okay, it sounds like semantics. It sounds like we're basically saying the same thing. Not really. It's similar, but it's a major difference though. And the word of being mechalal, it means really my focus over here is to take this animal and deconsecrate this animal. The word mechalal, if you think about the word itself, actually comes to the word halal, something which is empty. In other words, I like to take this and I like to empty it out of its content. In this case, of its kedusha, right? The flute in the Mishnah is referred to as a chalil, right? It's a hollow item. So here, when I'm being mechalal, it really means that this animal over here has kedusha, and I'd like to remove its kedusha from it. Now, I'm limited. I can only do that when the animal is a balmum, right? The animal's a blemished animal. If it's a non-blemished animal, I can't. In other words, that's one of the first rules we learn regarding kedusha seguf. If something has intrinsic kedusha, I can't expunge the kedusha from this animal. But once the animal's a balmum, so now I could be mechala. So really, it's amazing. In other words, I can, in the same case, either violate an issur in the Torah, or just simply remove the kedusha. In other words, so if I have a balmum, I have a blemished animal, a carbon that was at one point in time a carbon, and I employ one of the words of either tachas, or chalifa, or temura, so basically what I've done is, I try to exchange the kedusha with this animal with another animal, I've affected the issur of temura, and both animals will have kedusha. However, if I say zu mechulelas al zu, if I deconsecrate, so that essentially means now that I'm removing the kedusha from this animal, and where's that kedusha going? Okay, it happens to be going to this animal over here. Okay, so they are very similar in concept, but obviously they produce a very big difference. One is fine, and the other one's going to be an issur.
Can you do temura on the balmum?
The Torah says,
balmum?
Rabbi tov or tov bera. Can I go from balmum to balmum?
No.
Is that your question?
No. Temura usually is on the one that's not the blemished animal.
But the Torah says regarding temura, tov bara or ra betov.
No, that doesn't mean it's tov bara. Doesn't mean it's a balmum. It means it's a better one.
No, I understand, but we learned.
If it's a balmum, can you think that? No.
I understand, but we learned earlier. Ra means, in this context, ra means balmum. Ra means balmum.
Temura is always asur.
Under all circumstances, temura will always be asur. Okay, good. So that is what we learned yesterday in the Mishnah, and it took us to Daf Chavav to make this point, but it's a very important point in terms of the basic difference between Temura versus being Mechalo. Okay. The Gemara yesterday pointed out that one of the terms that we use in the Mishnah is a little bit ambiguous, and that's the term Tachas. Tachas sometimes can mean Hatfasa, meaning this exchange that we described, or Tachas could simply be a replacement, a total deconsecration of one and a consecration of the other. In fact, the Gemara quoted yesterday, we're now on the top of Chav Zayin Amud Aleph. I'm just going to review from the very top of the page. The Pasuk says, regarding Mitzvah, V'im tachteh tamura baharas. If the baharas were to stand in its place, the word tachteh over there means it's stationary, it's there. Right, so the achule dechsev, and it also is a reference to a total replacement. The Gemara quotes a pasuk in Yeshayahu, tachas and achoshes avizahav. Vehochach, gabi kachim mizbech davin tamura lishna da tfusehu. Gabi kachim berekabai, so lavin tamura lishna da achulehu. So the Gemara said yesterday, yes, tachas does have that ambiguity to it. So if we're talking about karbon, where you could do tamura, when you say could, meaning we're not endorsing, but in other words, it's effective, so we're going to assume tachas means hatfasa, it means tamura. But in the world of Bedek HaBayis, you want to use the word tachas. Now, by Bedek HaBayis, there, I'm actually deconsecrating, meaning I'm moving the Kedusha from point A to point B, so at that point in time, so the word tachas over there is actually a reference to chulin. Okay. Amar Rava. Yeah. Amar Rav, 5 lines from the top of the page, on Chav Zayin Amar Aleph, Afilu Bekachim Mizbech Mishkach Ala Lishna Da Achulehu, Kegon, Shaya Hektish Balmum. Let's say, for example, the Hektish was a Balmum, okay? And if the Hektish is a Balmum, and I use the word Tachas, so Rav says, basically, let's think about this, okay? Tachas is an ambiguous term. It could either be Hatfasa or it could be Achule. Hatfasa means that I'm affecting Tamura, even though I shouldn't be, but I'm affecting it. Achule means I'm deconsecrating. So Rav Ashi says, if the original animal that I'm trying to draw the Kedusha from, if it's a Balmum, and I say the word Tachas, so Rav says, don't you think that the person is interested in doing deconsecration? Meaning, if the choices are either A, I want to affect Tamura, or B, I want to deconsecrate, I want to remove the Kedusha from this animal, A is an Isser, B is not an Isser. You don't think he'd go with A? Of course he'd go with A. So Rabbi says that's, under those circumstances, Tachas over there for sure means Chulin, to be Mechalo. Amar Rav Ashi, Afilu Babamum Nami Mishkach Ala Lishna Da Chulin, Mishkach Ala Lishna Da Tfusne. Rav Ashi makes even a finer split, meaning Tachas is an ambiguous term. Tachas could mean Hatzfasa. Tachas could mean Achule. It could either be a violation of Tamura or could just simply be a deconsecration. And it can also both be talking about a case where the original animal was a balmum. Okay, and how would that work? Yado akodesh chol have. Yado achol kodesh have. Okay. Imagine for a moment that I have in front of me two animals. One is a carbon and one's chulin. The carbon animal is a balmum. And now what I'd like to do is I'd like to move the Kedusha from here to here. Now there are two ways to move it. Via Tamura or via chulin, deconsecration. One is prohibited and the other one's permitted, respectively. Now, again, if I use the word zut chalipas zu, that's tamura. If I say zu tamura zu, that's tamura, obviously. If I say zu michulelas al zu, that's chilul. What if I say the word tachas? So Rava said unequivocally, you meant michulal. Rav Ashi says, no. You know what? It depends where your hand is on. Meaning, and watch as I demonstrate. This animal over here is going to be our carbon. This animal over here is going to be the chulin animal. If I put my hand on the carbon and I say tachas, so what's my focus on? My focus is on deconsecration. Meaning I want to take this animal over here that has kedusha, but is a balmum now, and I'm able to deconsecrate it. And because I put my hand on the carbon, so at that point in time, all my focus is, I'd like to remove the Kedusha from here. That's being Mechala. Good. If I put my hand on the Chulin animal, essentially what I want to do is I want to transfer the Kedusha from here to here. That's Tamura. That's Asar. So Rav Ashi says it all depends on where your hand went. If your hand went on the Kodesh, so Chol Have. It becomes chol because I want to do chilulin. If I put my hand on the chol, kodesh have. Meaning my whole focus is to take the kedusha from there and transfer it over here. Good. Vaya good. Not good. Vaya who's mura? So yeah, kodesh, that now is an act of tamura. Alright. Baye abaye. Okay? So now all the difference in the world between tamura versus being mechalo. The Gemara now is going to ask a series of questions, 4 questions in total. Each one of them, basically, you're going to have an option of either doing Chemura or Chulin, or being Mechalo. And the question is basically going to be, we're not sure which one you did, what are we going to assume? Okay, now generally speaking, If you're given a choice of either violating an Isser or do something which is mutter, and it's ambiguous, usually we want to be dan l'kaf schus. Meaning, Mishnah Perkei Avos says, avidan is called dan l'kaf schus. We assume people want to do the right thing. Right? We talked about this in the Rambam. Right? When you're beating a person until he says, okay, I want to do the right thing. So the Rambam says, yeah, that's what he really wanted. He really wanted to do the right thing. Just the Yetzirah gets the best of him. So over here, all these scenarios, the four scenarios that we're about to see, essentially it's the same idea. Meaning, he wants to do the right thing, but the question is, did he violate an Isser or did he not violate an Isser? You'll see as we go through each one of these cases. Baye, baye. So we're now dealing with question number one. How you'll find up Shei Behemos Shokursh, Balas Mom, Ushei Behemos Shokhulin Tamimos. Two animals which are carbon, which are Balas Mom. Two animals that are chulin, which are non-blemished. Now, as Rashi points out, the case could have been much easier. The case could have been one and one. But Rashi says that we're having cases coming up ahead which are all two and two. No, that's not true. The next case is going to be two and two. So we like the symmetry of the cases. So therefore, this case is over here is going to be a two and two. Now, the Amar, Hare Elu Tachas Elu. And this is what he said. I want these to be tachas these. Now, as we've already established, tachas is an ambiguous term. Tachas can sometimes be tamura, it could be an exchange, or tachas can be a total deconsecration. Now, we just learned that according to Rav Ashi, it depends on what you put your hands on. Let's say for the purpose of this discussion and this example, let's say you didn't put your hands on anything. Okay, and also, one other point that we're going to have to make, and that is, according to Rava, if you say tachas, we assume you want to do the right thing, which is to be mechala. Okay, so as Rashi also points out over here, we're not subscribing to Rava's rule, meaning that the word tachas, even in this context, is an ambiguous term. Mahu. Mi amar le'atfuse velaki. Now you say these instead of these. Okay, everyone have the case in their mind? Two animals which are carbon, which are bamum. Two animals, I actually made little notes for myself on the Gemara just so I have a good picture of the case. And two animals which are non-blemished, chulin animals. And I say, elu, tachas elu. So what did I mean? Did I mean hatfasa, which means that I mean tamura, and therefore I'll get malchus? Two times over. Or no. In other words, because tachas can also mean to be mechala, and because given the choice of either me doing an Isser or me doing something which is mutter, we assume, generally speaking, people will do the heter rather than the Isser. So what I meant is to be mechala. Okay. That's question number one. Now you know how the Gemara, you know the formula of the Gemara now. The Gemara doesn't actually answer the question. The Gemara just says, let's build on an assumption. Right? And the Rambam writes every time the Gemara does this, which is build on an assumption. So that means that the Gemara basically adopts the assumption. What's the assumption going to be? Okay, so let's assume that people want to do the right thing, which is means that in this case over here, he meant mechala. Good. Let's move on now to question number two. Okay, so now in case number two, I have two animals which are carbon. One's a balmum, the other one's a perfect animal. I have two animals which are chulin. One's a balmum and the other one's a perfect animal. Va'amar hare elu tachas elu, and he said elu tachas elu. Now, if you think about this for just a moment, you realize, so he's definitely doing tamura one time. For sure. Right? For sure. Because of those two karbanos, one of them is a tamim. What does that mean? It means that you can't be mechala. You can't remove the kedusha from an animal that's a karban, that's not a balmum, that's a tamim. So there, on that animal, when he said this one, well, he didn't say he said these, but if we can isolate each scenario, when he's saying, I want this one for this one, and he uses the word tachas, and the original one was a tamim, he meant tamura over there. So on one of the two exchanges that he just did, he for sure meant tamura. So now the question is like this. Miyamar tamima tachas tamima latfu say, balas mom tachas balas mom la'achule. So is he now, this is going to be one possibility, did he go the T for T, the Tumim for Tumim, meaning, and for that, there's no question that he violated the Isra of Tamura, and then did he go from Baal Mum to Baal Mum, But there, he meant to be mechala, to deconsecrate from one balmum to another balmum. Now, it is fair to ask me, what would be the... Right. Perfect. Huh? Perfect. It's fair to ask me, what are you accomplishing going from one balmum to another balmum? Okay. It's a fair question. I'm not really sure if I have the answer. But let me ask you this question, though. This Rashi and Tosfos discuss, fascinating discussion between the two. Can you do Temura from a Balmum to a Balmum? Meaning, is that even a possibility?
Depends on the Mum.
Let's assume they're Mum Kavua. Let's assume it's a permanent blemish. Okay, not a Mum over. Can you go Temura from one Balmum to another Balmum? So Rashi says that's not even in the discussion. You can't. You can't go Temura from one Balmum to another. Why not? So Rashi's argument is very simple. Read the Pasuk. Meaning when the Pasuk describes Temura, what does it say? Right? Tov bera or ra betov. Now we darshened earlier the Pasuk. But what the Pasuk does not entertain is ra bera. You can't do Temura from a blemished to a blemished. So Temura is not even an option. So there, you for sure meant to be mechala. Now, on the first question that, you know, I elicited, which is what was the purpose of doing that? I don't know. I don't have a good answer. But Temura is not even in the discussion. Now, interesting, by the way, because Tosfos, second Tosfos on this page, so Tosfos says he does not agree. He says that Temura is an option from Ra to Ra. See Tosfos inside where he discusses. Tosfos just simply says, Lo Matzina. Where's the Lashon HaTosfos? Right, Avara Bera Lo, V'lo Nehira, Dezeh Lo Matzina. Tosfos says, where have you ever found in all Masechta Temura, and we're most of the way through, where do you ever find that you can't affect Temura from a blemished to blemished animal? Okay, interesting. But back to the Gemara, Odilma Tamima Dechulin Tachas Balas Mum Dehektish, and Balas Mum Dechulin Tachas Tamima Dehektish, V'tarvayu Laki. The other possibility over here is what he meant was to go from the Tamima of Chulin in exchange for the Balas Mum of Hektish, meaning Temura. And he meant from the Balas Mum of Chulin in exchange for the Tamima of Hektish, Temura. Meaning, maybe he went Temura two times over. Now, in the second question over here, why would we assume that? It's very simple. Because, in the very least, he violated Temura one time. So now, he kind of loses a little bit of his credibility. He loses a little bit of his, you know, of his Dan Lekav Tzchus. Because once he's now we know for sure that he has to do, in this scenario, Temura once. So let's just assume maybe he did Temura twice over, or no. Do we say that if we can navigate through this case where he only violates the Issur of Temura one time, so let's assume that he only violated the Issur of Temura one time, not twice. So the Gemara says, okay, let's assume that he only violated Temura once and not twice. Let's now describe the following scenario. Hayulafan of case number three. In case number three here involves six animals. Three animals of Kedusha, of carbon. Two of them are Tamim, one of them is a Balmum. Ushlosha behema shechulin, Tamimos. And three animals which are Tamim. The Amar, and this is what he said, Hare Elu Takas Elu. These for these. Okay, now, again, you have a picture of this in your mind. Three carbonos, three non-carbonos. Of the three non-carbonos, each one of them is tamim. Of the three carbonos, two are tamim, one is a balmum. Now, on the two tamims, carbonos, he's violated Temura. Clearly. The only chance he's got for not violating Temura is to go from the third carbon, which is a balmum, and there could be a deconsecration. But now, two times over, he just violated Temura. So now, what about that third time? Midi tamimos tachas tamimos latfuse, tamima nami tachas balazmom latfuse. So if he's a two-time offender on Temura, so maybe we can assume now that for the third time, he'll be a repeat offender for Temura.
Maybe he goes to strike
something. Oh, Dilma, huh?
Maybe he goes to strike something.
Right, well, essentially the Gemara is going to ask now, are we going to employ the rule of Chazaka? Oh, Dilma, ha-chanami kol hechadika heterik lo abidi sura v'ayibas reis ala chulei havei. Or do we say, no, look, I know he's a repeat offender. I know two times over he violated Temura, but again, let's give this guy a little bit of a, you know, a little bit of slack. Let's assume that for that third animal, he did use the word tachas. Tachas could mean la'achule. Maybe he meant deconsecration. The imtim salama achanami kem da'akati gavra lo ischazik b'isura lo shavik eter v'avid isura by Rav Ashi. So the Gemara says, let's assume that for the third one, he did not violate the isura of Temura. How about the following? Hayu lefan of arba behemah shel kodesh v'achaz mehem ba'as mum v'arba behemah shel chulin, and they are all tamim. The amar hare elu tachas elu. So now in this fourth case over here, we are dealing now with four pairs of animals. Of the karbanos, three of them are tamim, one of them is a balmum. Of the non-karbanos, of the chulin animals, all four of them are tamim. And he said elu tachas elu. So now, for three times over, right, he violated the Isra of Temura. Right, absolutely. Because of those, of four of the animals, four of the karbanos, three of them are karban. Three of them are tamim. So he violated the Isra of Temura three times over. So now, at this point in time, what are we left to say? He's not only an avaryan, he is a muhzak avaryan. Violated the Isra three times over. So at that point in time, we know what a chazaka does. Chazaka now creates a chazaka. Okay, one of the smartest things I've said so far this morning. A chazaka creates a chazaka, but it's true. Meaning what I'm saying is, you know, it sounds a little silly, but it's correct. It creates a presumption. And now we presume that this person is now a Baal Temura. The person is muhzak on the Isra of Temura. So now, how many sets of Malkios should he get? He should get four sets of Malkios. Or maybe no, maybe even though he's muhzak on the Isra of Temura, but if we have a way to interpret that last exchange between Balmum and Tamima as not an Isser of Temura, but rather as just simply a Mechalo, a deconsecration, so maybe only give a Malkus three times and not four times, take who the Gemara leaves this last question unresolved. Okay. Im Haisa Hektish Balmum Yatsa L'chulin. Okay, we're back to our Mishnah and a little bit of money talk for a good part of today's daf. It's only till the end of the parak. One little sugya at the very end. Okay, remember the Mishnah? The Mishnah talked about deconsecration. Okay, deconsecration can only work if the carbon animal is a balmum. And you have to use the right words, which is either the correct word is mechalo, to say the word mechalo, or perhaps the word tachas as well, subject to a little bit of ambiguity. Okay? And maybe hand placement would be significant if he put his hand on the carbon. Right? I have to think now where the hand belongs. Okay, anyway, so but if he does say the word mechalo, so it actually refers to now deconsecration. And what did the Mishnah say? V'imaya hektish ba'mum yotze l'chulin v'tzarech la'asos damin. And then the Mishnah says, and also you have to do an accounting. Okay? Meaning, I have now a carbon ba'mum. It has a particular value to it. Let's say $100, okay? And I deconsecrate. Well, if I deconsecrate, that means that there has to be an object of equivalent value. So if, let's say now, the object that I'm deconsecrating to could even be another animal, right, as we've already discussed. Let's say it is less than $100, let's call it $90, so the Mishnah says, Chayav Tzarech Lasos Damim. So you have to, in other words, you can't now just simply strip the Beis HaMikdash of $10. So you have to go into your pocket and you have to make up the difference. Okay, good. So what topic are we really hitting on right now? Meaning of shortchanging the Beis HaMikdash. What does it sound like? It sounds a little bit like the Isser of Ona. Okay. So let's see the Gemara inside. So im haisa hektish ba'mum yatsa l'chulun amr av yochanan yatsa l'chulun dvar Torah v'tzarech la'asos damim medivrayim. So Rav Yochanan says, this idea that you have to go into your pocket and take out money, if in fact you shortchange the Beis HaMikdash, that's only a din derabanan. Min HaTorah, the deconsecration worked. Min HaTorah. Reish Lakish Amar, after Chlasos Damin Dvar Torah. And Reish Lakish disagrees with his brother-in-law, with his Chavrusa. And Reish Lakish says, no, that you have to make up the difference. And that's not a din derabanan. It's daraisa. Now, but my eskinan. Excuse me. Okay, so let's understand this a little bit better. First of all, let's flesh out what exactly is the parameter of the case. What's going on over here? Inami a'ona'a v'hanim reish lakish avsarach lasos damin dvar Torah v'hatanan. Elu dvarim she'en lahem ona'a. In other words, if we're talking about ona'a, and when we say ona'a over here, meaning we're talking precisely about 1/6, right? Remember the basic rules of ona'a, it's very simple. If I overcharge or undercharge, but it was under a 6, right? Let's give it a percentage, right? I find people, we do better when we deal with percentages. 1/6 is 16.7, right? Roughly. I know. We want, right, in other words, and then you put a bar over the 6 and, okay. 16.7, let's just make it. Okay, if I'm charging under, right, if my undercharge or overcharge is under 16%, so then, mechokayim, it's fine. Meaning, you should have charged the correct market value, but fine. If you charged over 16%, so mechobato, meaning that is ona. That's, in America, we call that fraud. Okay? And the sale's no good. It's over 16%, by the way, of fair market value, as it's determined. And if I charged exactly 16.7%, over or under what it costs. So there, mechokayam, right? The sale is still a good sale, but you have to refund the difference in either direction, whether it was overcharged or undercharged. Okay? So now that's the basic rules of ona'a. So over here, we're talking now where you had a karban and you deconsecrated. So how much did you shortchange the Beis HaMikdash? If it was precisely ona'a, meaning 16.7% to none. So the Gemara says, yeah, but we have a Mishnah. Elu dvarim she'en lahem ona'a. Ha'avadim v'asharos v'akarkos v'akdeshos. It's not subject to ona'a. Not subject to ona'a, which the Gemara now is assumes that what it means is that you don't have to make up the difference. Ela abitul mekach. So we're not talking about where the overcharger, in this case, the shortchanging was 16.7%, but it was over 16.7%. Let's say you shortchanged the Beis HaMikdash by 20%. Okay? So for the $100 animal, I exchanged its Kedusha for an item that was worth $80. Okay? Good. Now, I'm well beyond the point of ona'a. This is what's called bitul mekach. Bitul mekach means it's not a sale. So bahanim or Rav Yochanan tzarach lasos damim midivrehem. So then I don't understand Rav Yochanan. Rav Yochanan says that's just a Rabbanan. Just a Rabbanan? What are you talking about? You're over the threshold. You're now at the point where the sale's not going to be a good sale. So how in the world can I deconsecrate an animal that's worth 100 onto an item that's worth 80 and I don't have to make up the difference? It shouldn't even be a deconsecration unless I make up the difference. Top of Chav Zayin Amad Beis, the Gemara says, Amar of Yirmiyah, Arkarkos dechulim v'Rav Yonah Amar ahartesos tavayim mishmei de Rav Yochanan Amre ona in lahem bitul mekach yesh lahem. Now, the way the Gemara presents to us this information, it's a little bit confusing, but okay, Rav Yochanan makes a statement. Rav Yochanan's statement is there's no ona'a, but there is bitul mekach. Now, what was that statement going on? So that's a machlokes between Rav Yirmiyah and Rav Yonah. Rav Yirmiyah says it was going on property. Chulin property, and Rav Yonah says it's going on Hekdesh. Okay? So, but either way, Rav Yochanan says, there's no one up, but there is Bitul Mekach, Yesh Lahem. So, and now that means that according to Rav Yochanan, anytime that you went above 16.7%, in our example, you went 20%, the animal was worth 100, you deconsecrated it now onto an item, an animal that's worth $80. It shouldn't work. It should be Bitul Mekach. And the idea of our Mishnah, the Mishnah says, well, you got to go into your pocket and make up the difference. And the Rav Yochanan says, oh, but that's just the Rabbanan. No, it's not. Based on what Rav Yochanan over here says, it's not a din de Rabbanan, it's a din de Araisa. It shouldn't work unless you go into your pocket and make up the difference. I just gave a whole number, meaning anything above 16.7%.
What difference do you make? 14.7 or 2.
Oh, I understand. In other words, where's your starting point?
Yeah.
Right. Okay. Right. Because I went reverse. I went 100 down to 80. Okay. I hear you. I don't.
Why isn't it reversed through the Mekach Torahs?
Correct. That's exactly the point. They're just using Bitul Mekach. But Bitul Mekach basically now means is that because your fraud was so extreme, so the sale's not going to be a good sale. And when Rav Yochanan and the Mishnah, meaning the Mishnah's fine. Let me understand, the Mishnah's fine because the Mishnah says you have to make up the difference. The only point of dispute over here, or the only issue, is the statement of Rav Yochanan where he says that's just a din d'rabbanan. To which the Gemara now is saying, what are you talking about? It's a din d'rabbanan. It should be a din d'araisa.
Maybe it's a difference between the sale and
Okay, you're ahead. you're in good territory. You're just a little bit ahead of us right now. The Gemara is gonna get there. Yeshlam lo olam abitul mekach ve'epoch. So the Gemara says, okay, what we'll do is we'll reverse. Meaning the only problem that was created is because Rav Yochanan was the one that says midivrayhem, and Reish Lakish says it's min haTorah. So we'll take those two positions and we'll flip it. So umi matzis amar deipach hanich lamanda amar ha'akdeshah v'koshekein akarkos. El lamanda amar akarkos av ha'akdeshah zain lam bitul mekach. So hechi epach laha. So the Gemara says, yeah, but even switching it around won't help that much, because remember, Rav Yochanan made a statement, and Rav Yochanan's statement was, ona ein lahem, but bitul mekach yesh lahem. Now when Rav Yochanan made that statement, it was unclear what he was talking about. There were two opinions. The opinion of Rav Yirmi and the opinion of Rav Yona. Rav Yirmi says it was going on property, chulin property, and Rav Yona says it was going on hektesh. But the Gemara says, but according to the one that's going on hektesh, kol shekin that's going on karka. So in other words, it comes out that according to Rav Yochanan, it still doesn't work out well, because we still want Rav Yochanan to be on the side of Derabbanan. So Amar Rav Yirmi ala olam lo tepoch lema b'dushmul kamifli. So the Gemara says, no, let's do it like this. Really, there's no point in switching Rav Yochanan Reish Lakish. Really, Rav Yochanan holds midivrehem. That you do have to go into your pocket and you do have to make up the difference, but that's only midirabbanan. Fine. And then what we could be arguing about over here is Shmuel. The Amar Shmuel hekti shavamana shechilal shavapruta michulal. Okay. Now, the statement of Shmuel, which we've seen already a number of times already, and that, Phil, this is basically what you've been saying, is that in the world of being mechalel, so that's different. There, chilul, you don't need dollar for dollar. If I'm deconsecrating from hektesh onto something else, deconsecration works even if I go from dollar on the penny. Right? Shove it, right? Something which is shove money. Money is a lot of money. And I'm mechala on a shove pruta. Pruta is the smallest coin they had back in the time of the Gemara. It works. Chilul works. The consecration works. Now, Bein Damar, now I'm going to skip the next line and a half of Gemara, as per the instructions of the Gaon. Bein Damar, Islay de Shmuel. Both of them hold of Shmuel, meaning, who are we talking about right now? That's the Gaon's issue, meaning it's not, the Gaon says it's not Rabbi Yona and Rabbi Yirmiya, but we're going back rather on Reish Lakish and Rabbi Yochanan. So what he would tell us to do over here is take out the words Rabbi Yona from the upcoming Gemara as well. So Mar Savar Ki Amar Shmuel Di Eved Aval Chatzchila Lo Amar and Mar Savar Afilu Chatzchila. So in other words, the question over here is this position of Shmuel. Is that a din b'di'evit, or is that din afilu chatchila? So that's exactly the point, meaning that if you allow somebody to mimechala shavimana to shavapruta and even lechatchila, so does chila work? Sure. Does it work if I go from 100 down to 80? Again, sure. Sure, it works. And I can even do lechatchila. The Mishnah says, sarach lasos damim midrabanan. That's a din d'rabanan. What about the one that says Sarach Lasos Damim is Daraisa? Yeah, it's Daraisa because even though Shmuel has his rule, but we can't rely on it lechatchila. That's only b'di'evet. Okay. That's one approach of the Gemara. So the Gemara says, or if you want, we can do it this way, which is, look, why do we have a problem based on the Mishnah Bava Metzia? The Mishnah Bava Metzia says, Eilu Dvarim She'in Lehem Ona, not subject to Ona. What do we think that meant? We thought what that meant is that if I charged Ona, so then the sale is good, but I don't have to return the difference. Meaning exactly 1/6. The Gemara says, you know, there's another way to read that Mishnah altogether. And that's the Rav Chista way of reading that Mishnah. And how does Rav Chista read that Mishnah? Amar Rav Chista, Ein Laim Ona'a, Einan Bitaras Ona'a. Meaning that when it comes to Hekdesh, it doesn't conform to the regular rules of Ona'a, which means, Da'afilu Pachos Mechdei Ona'a, Chozer. It means that even if I charge less than Ona'a, I have to return the difference. Meaning, we originally thought that Mishnah in Bava Metzia meant that if I charge Ona'a by Hekdesh, well, I didn't defraud a person, I just defrauded a corporation. In this case, the corporation is a base of Mikdash, so I shouldn't have done it, but I don't have to return the difference. That's what we thought it meant. The Rav Chista says, no, he doesn't read that Mishnah at all. It means that when it comes to Hekdesh, you can't defraud them at all. Not even less than Ona'a. So in other words, even if I went 10%, 5% more or less than what it should have been, I have to return the difference. So if that's true, so then very simple way to read the Mishnah. Our Mishnah says that you have to make up the difference. Yeah, afilu min haTorah, meaning that would work even on a Torah level, because the Mishnah Bava Metzia is just simply telling us that there's no prescribed amount. Any amount over cost, or in this case under cost, would be a violation of Ona'a. Amar Ula, lo Amar Ella Bishami Betray, Ava Bishami Betlasa, Vafagav de Ase Bemea, lo Hadar. Now, right, this next little bit of Gemara over here deals with the following. What happened? Meaning, how did it happen that you deconsecrated on what you thought was equivalent, and then it turns out later on, oh no, the item that you deconsecrated onto was less than the original item, and now you have to go into your pocket and make up the difference. What just happened? So the Gemara over here is assuming, interesting assumption, that we're not talking about a simple case where you did it on your own, but you got an appraisal, and you got a second appraisal. Right? I've warned you many times about getting a second opinion. Okay. So the Gemara is assuming over here that's what we're talking about. Amar ula lo amar ela b'shamoi betray ava b'shamoi betlas ava afagav da'asi b'meya lo hadar. Let's say your original appraisal was done, and it was done by two people. And then a later appraisal was done, and it was done by three people, and the second appraisal actually shows that you undervalued the item. Okay. And you shortchanged the base of Mikdash. Okay, then you have to make up the difference. But what if the original appraisal was done by three? Right, appraisals in the Gemara were done by three. Although, for Hekdesh, it's done by 10. Okay, that's a bit of an issue, but... Okay. Let's say it was done by three, and the second appraisal was done by three. Now, the first appraisal came in, and you did fine. Meaning, when you deconsecrated dollar for dollar. And then the second appraisal comes in and it shows that you shortchanged the base of Mikdash. So Ula's saying, you're fine. You're fine. Because your first appraisal was a valid appraisal. Inu the Gemara says, is that correct? Is that accurate? And by the way, I'm sorry, and even if 100 people come in and do that second appraisal, and 100 people are telling you, you shortchanged the base of Mikdash, it doesn't matter. Because your first appraisal was done by three, and that's a fine appraisal. So the Gemara says, "Ini is that correct?" Amar Rav Safra, "Hechi Amar Mea Ketrei V'Trei Kamea Linyan Edus." So the Gemara says, "No. When are we talking about testimony? So then, 2 is equal to 100, and 100 are equal to 2. Once you have 2 and anything above 2, that's a cut. That's considered a group." But we're talking about appraisal, and when we're talking about appraisal, we actually value more opinions. Meaning if that second group comes in, that second appraisal group comes in, and they're made up of 100 people, and they're telling you this is what the appraised value is, their opinion is better than the opinion of 2 or even 3. 100 is better than 3 in the world of appraisal. And also, Let's even go back to the 3 verses 3. Three people appraised it at 100. Good, and you said deconsecrated for 100. And three people appraised your item of deconsecration for, let's say, 80. And so now the Beis HaMikdash is coming at you and saying, look, you need to make it up the difference. In other words, you need to give $20 to us, because the second appraisal came in, and the second appraisal showed us that the item that you replaced it with is only 80. So now what are you going to say? Yeah, but my first appraisal said it was worth 100, so I'm fine. I understand, if there's ever any debate or dispute between you and Hektish, who wins? Hektish always wins. Yad Hektish Al Yonah.
So you could have said even 2 against 2.
No? 2 against 2, three against three,
but why didn't you say 2 against 2?
No, because the Gemara prefer 3 against 3 because 3 is a valid appraisal. Okay. So hey, Chama, may some say, "Basadil v'su t'las v'tosel lasin basabasrod yad hektish al yona." Kasaver ula tzerich lasos damim midivrayim v'chol de rabban akila be rabbanan. So the Gemara says no, meaning ula's still going to stand his ground, right? Why? Because when he learns the Mishnah of tzerich lasos damim, that you have to make up the difference, he learned the Mishnah like Rav Yochanan. Rav Yochanan says that's only a din de rabbanan. Why? Because, and we'll say like the Gaon did earlier, because they all hold like Shmuel. Because in the world of being Mechalel, it doesn't have to be dollar for dollar. In the world of being Mechalel, you can go dollar for penny. So really, the Chilul worked. And it's now just a question of, yeah, but the Beis HaMikdash did get shortchanged. But as far as being Mechalel, it worked. So he'll understand the Mishnah, that the Mishnah is only a din de Rabbanan. And now it's a suffix, but it's a suffix on a din de Rabbanan. Suffix de Rabbanan, lakula. I know it's not, it's not, right, I'm really borrowing the term. Suffix de Rabbanan, lakula is talking about Issa Veheter. Here we're talking about money, right? But do I owe money to the Beis HaMikdash? Well, my obligation to pay only started off as being an obligation mid de Rabbanan. And if I have one appraisal that's going in my favor, so okay, fine. We start the next Mishnah. Harizu tachas ola tachas chatas lo amar klum. Okay. He had a chata standing right in front of him, and he says, Zu tachas ola tachas chatas. So he has said nothing. Tachas chatas zu, tachas ola zu, tachas chatas, tachas ola sheishli babayis, hayalo dvarav kayamin. When you do Temura, it has to be there.
Exactly.
Meaning, you have to be clear about what I'm trying to transfer the Kedusha from to. So if I just simply say, Tachas Chatas. Which Chatas? And even if you have a Chatas in your house, but you didn't specify, that's nothing. If I say Tachas Ola, but I don't specify, that's nothing. You have to specify, right? Literally, it sounds like, point to the animal that I'm trying to make tamura from to what I'm trying to make it to. Amar lebehema tameh v'albalas mom hare elu ola lo amar klum. If I point to a non-kosher animal or an animal which is a bal mom, and I say this is going to be an ola, right? Just a nonsense statement, and it's just disregarded. Hare elu leola. However, if I say it should be leola, that's not a nonsense statement. That means that I'm consecrating its value to an ola. So yimachru v'yavi b'dmeim ola. Okay, so that's you're on the hook now for its value. Am Rav Yehuda, Am Rav Masis Nelok, Rav Meir Dikra, Meir Ina Damosi Devar Vlevatala. You know, our mission is not like Rav Meir. Rav Meir does not let anything come out of your mouth and just get ignored. Rav Meir says you meant something. So back in our Mishnah, when you pointed to a gamal, to your camel, and you said regarding the gamal, this is going to be an ola, Rav Meir will tell you, you know what you meant? Not that this animal is going to be an ola, of course not. It meant the value of this animal is going to be an ola, and you're going to be on the hook, according to Rav Meir, for its value. Our Mishnah is not going like Rav Meir. Hare elu la ola yimachru v'yavi b'dimav ola tamad de behemah tameo v'alas mum de lo chazi lo bayin muma. Ava mafrish nekev ola asham. Okay, what about if I was mafrish, not a bal mum, but a female animal? Meaning our Mishnah didn't give that example. Why didn't our Mishnah give that example? So the Gemara is now making a diuk in the Mishnah. I'll tell you why. Because ola ola bayin muma. Because if I set aside a female as an asham, now, can a female become an asham? No. Will it have kedushas haguf? Yes. Even in Asham. I'm Rabbi Yehuda, I'm a Rav, my sister's local Rabbi Shimon. Now, if you remember back to that sugya that we did about a week ago, right, regarding the possibility of an Ola being a female, the possibility of an Asham being a female. So you remember that our Mishnah is not, if that's the correct shot in our Mishnah is not going with Rabbi Shimon. Did not Rabbi Shimon Amar Timakash Lo Bamum. Because Rabbi Shimon says it will not have Kedushas Aguf. It will only have Kedushas Damim. So our Mishnah, as we're setting up, is not going like Rabbi Shimon Hajalach, Ketzad Ma'arimin. Okay, that is the end of the fifth parak of Temura. Let's begin. Okay, very simple start to the sixth parak of Temura, and that is Tarovis. Tarovis, one of the Shas's favorite topics, and that is if I have mixtures of Chulin and Isser Veheter. Right? Isser over here comes in the form of something that's not fit for the Mizbeach. So if I have something that's not fit for the Mizbeach, get mixed up with a whole bunch of animals that are fit for the Mizbeach, it's going to be Asur, and there will not be Bittul. Right? This is now the classic discussion of Bittul blocking. Okay. So Bittul blocking basically is generally a Din D'Rabbanan. It means that the Chachamim said, look, Bittul could occur, you have more Heter than you have Isur, but because it's a davar chashuv, or in this case, because it's a karban, so the chachamim blocked bittul. And so therefore, afilu b'mei lo bato, afilu b'elef lo bato. There will not be bittul. What are examples of animals that are not to be brought onto the mizbeach? Harovev v'hanirv, an animal involved in bestiality. Hamukse v'hanevad, an animal that's involved in idolatry. Ha'esnan, animal used in exchange for prostitution. Umechir, an animal exchanged for a dog. Ha'kalayim, an animal that's a crossbreed. Hatrefa, an animal that's a trefa. How can the animal be a trefa and you not know about it? See Rashi. Yotzei dofen, an animal born cesarean. Ezuhu muksa, hamuksa lavodas kochavim, hu asur umasha alav mutar. An animal set aside for avodah zara, the animal itself is prohibited. Whatever's on the animal is fine. Ezu haneva kosha ovden oso. An animal that's an object of idolatry. It's deified. So it and anything on it will be also. Anything on it is tashmishin, accoutrements, and therefore it's going to be asr as well. Mashallah, Allah asr. V'zev v'zev mutar ba'achila. Interesting. Every one of these things mentioned in our Mishnah, you can take home and eat. Okay? As I made this joke before, it's an old one. I wouldn't bring it up at the dinner table. Meaning the animal was involved in roveya. Right? It was involved in an act of roveya. So you can enjoy it for dinner, just don't make that part of the dinner conversation. What's the genesis of this animal? Now, Amar Mar, let's pause over here. Okay, tomorrow we'll pick it up straight from the Gemara, and we'll go through all the Mishnayos and Shas that basically touch this topic, because if all this sounded familiar, it should. We cover this back in Zvachim a couple times, and we cover this in Avodah Zarah. And it sounds like the Mishnah over here is giving us retreaded information, and the Gemara is going to explain to us tomorrow. It's not retreaded information. All of it becomes necessary.